all want their lives to count for something, to leave their mark when life is through. But vain pursuits will count for nothing. Time will erase whatever we do. I want my life to count for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to ask worldly riches. I only see eternal gain. Inside my heart there burned a question. What was I planning here for? It truly was to build a kingdom, not of my own, but of the Lord's. I want my life to count for Jesus, for worldly riches. I only see eternal gain. I want my life to count for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. No need to add to worldly riches. I only
Amen. I'm glad that you're here tonight. This is a good crowd for Sunday night. And I want to say thank you for coming back tonight on Sunday night. I hate to have to just preach to the preacher and his family. And that could be, you know, we don't want to go down that road. But anyway, but the preacher and I, we're pretty happy tonight. We're in good spirits right now. The Lord moved this afternoon. Somebody helped me out just a little bit. And somebody had to move, because I'm telling you right now, that was not much of a good game. But anyway, but we did get out on the W side. Amen. And I'm thrilled that you're here. Let me say, if I can, just a little about the table in the back and talk to you about some of the books that we have. I think some of these will be a rerun. Others of these will be brand new. We did a reprint. One of my first books I wrote years ago, Blueprints for Life, it went out of print for several years. Then I found a way I could get it back into print without carrying a large an inventory. And so we are back into print with this one right here. And this, I took 13 men from the Bible, and I talked about what made them the men that they were. Now, these principles are applicable to both men and ladies, but you will find this to be very, very encouraging and helpful. Then one of my newer books, Overcoming Average. I believe every home needs this. If you have teenagers or children in your home, you need to get this book, and you need to make especially your teenagers read it. There's chapters in here like Get Up. I know the teenagers won't like it, but they need to read it. There's a chapter in here. There's just one in here on. I just kind of go through here. It's okay. Here's one. It's not about you. That would be good for people to read. Success is overrated. It's amazing how we live for success in today's world. Only one time in the scriptures does God even mention the word success. God does not want us to live for success. I say what God wants us to live for in this book. Here's one, truth driven. There's a chapter in here on schedule, on you need a boss. Several good things in here that I think you'll find to be very, very helpful. Then for about a couple years, we've been having people ask, when are you going to put out your next book, Espresso book? And so we finally have it out. Here it is, Spiritual Espresso Volume 3. What I have on the table, that's all I have on all of these books. I'm just going to let you know that. And so you have about 120 devotionals in here. Here's just some of the ones you'll find inside of here. Wisdom Silence. The Lord was with Judah, hooray for Jephthah's daughter. Ruth clave unto her, whose side are you on? Turning friends into enemies. Respect the power, and we can all turn our friends into enemies pretty easy, can't we? Setting yourself apart from the rest, just a lot of good things in here you'll find to be helpful. These sell for $10 each. And then a missionary friend, his wife had a book printed years ago, and it's To Cross the Widest Ocean. She called us up, they're friends of our family, and Mrs. Becky Martin, and she asked my wife, she goes, do you think your husband would be willing to reprint my book and put it out? And I was very happy to do that. Of course, he and I co-authored the book on Revival, and this is a book by his wife. This is the only one I have here right now. We can still order it and get it shipped straight to you if you'd like to get it. This sells for $15. It's What I've Learned About Faith. It talks about from her time in Bible college to where they are in the Philippines and what God's done through them there. Just some phenomenal things inside this book I think that you'll find to be helpful, especially for the ladies, and I'd encourage you to do that. Then I think the book that will probably make the biggest impact on eternity that I will have written will be this book right here, just came out, Divine Appointments. I believe in soul winning. I believe in it. I was troubled because so many people, it's hard for me to imagine, and preach, I don't know how much you travel out, but it's just hard for me to imagine that there are churches, truly, our type of churches, that don't know how to go soul winning. I'm just being honest with you. If I was to, and I'm not gonna embarrass anybody, if I was to ask you, could you lead someone to Jesus Christ? What would your answer be? Think about it. Because if you can't lead someone to Jesus Christ, then what are we doing as a church? This world is dying and going to hell. And just because there's a lot of religion in this area does not mean that they're saved. And I have a sermon I preach on divine appointments, and I just decided I was going to take that sermon. I was going to break it down into a book. I still may preach the sermon this week if the Lord allows me. I've been toying with the idea. But you will love this booklet. I literally in here, one whole chapter is just a dialogue of me as if I was going to lead someone to Jesus Christ. You'll see how I do it, what I say, the verses I use. Now, let me make this very clear. Just because I use these set of verses doesn't mean that's the only ones you can use. This book is full of verses you can use. This is just how Alan Domley does it. I would encourage you, find something and then fine-tune it for yourself. But this will be a help to you. $7 for this book. And I'd encourage you, Divine Appointments, please. This world is, you know, and I'll say this, and I'll probably get myself in trouble, but that's okay. We are so wrapped up in politics. You can say amen right now, or else we will change the sermon. We think that politics is going to save this nation. Let me help you out. A politician has never, never saved a nation. Let me tell you where this nation is going to be saved. Inside the walls of the independent Baptist churches, getting right with God and going out and reaching them. Because, you see, only thing that politicians can do is they can set up policies or programs, whatever. The only way you're going to change this country, you got to change the heart. Only one person can change the heart, Jesus Christ. And I'm just being honest with you, this has nothing to do with my sermon, but I'm troubled with our Baptist brethren that are so caught up in politics. And let me tell you something, it's the heart that needs to be changed in America. And only Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong, I think you need to go vote. And I think you need to vote scripturally. And I'm for us knowing what's going on in our country. I'm for that. But let's always understand the heart has to be changed. And only Jesus Christ can change the heart. And we've got to understand that. Let's not allow the devil to sidetrack us. Because if we do, listen to me, we'll beat ourselves in the ground. We have the answer. It's just you and I have got to get out there, and it's truly going out, keeping people out of hell, getting them to church, get them baptized, disciple them, and send them back out. That's how you do it. And if every one of us could get involved in that, let me tell you something, it would change your Christian life. Amen. And so I'd encourage you, if you can, do something about it. Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23 and verse 33. And once you have found it, let's all stand as we read the Word of God. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. I'd encourage you to come back tomorrow night, 7:00. Be here. Even if you have to come in a little bit late, that's okay. If you have to come in your work clothes, that's okay. Now, if you can get home and get changed to church clothes, do that. But let's be here the next couple nights. Let's let God do a work. I'm serious. I put a little post on Facebook about the church, what God did this morning, and I just wanted people to see out in the middle of nowhere, God can still fill up a church. Pastor Freeman hasn't filled this thing up. He'll be the first to tell you, God. Because nobody knows what this place is. I took a picture of the building just so that way Google Maps will have your picture, and I uploaded it this afternoon. So you go to Google Maps and you type in 725 Gate Road, you see the church, and now the outside of your church building's on there, thanks to Alan Domley. But this place is out in the middle of nowhere. You say, how do people get here? Ready? God. God. What a wonderful testimony. And let's be back the next couple of nights and let's see what God can do. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. When they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast his lots. And cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, and Latin and Hebrew, this is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly? For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. I hope you listen tonight. Can you give me some volume? I feel like you took me some volume away, and I'd like to have just a bit of volume. You're either going to need this sermon now,
or you will need it at some point in your life. I'm 48 years young. Emphasis on the young. And I've been down the road a few times, and I'm telling you, I know what I'm preaching tonight. Everybody will need at some point. I hope you listen. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, responding to the cross. Responding to the cross. Father, tonight, I've wrestled all afternoon. I know you wanted me to preach this yesterday and even Friday as I was going through what I was going to preach. But for some reason this afternoon, I've just kind of wrestled with it. But I couldn't get away from the fact I just feel like you want this sermon preached here tonight for whatever reason. I'm asking the Holy Ghost of God, move in our midst. May we walk out of here tonight understanding we have a cross we will carry. And how we respond to it will determine how useful that cross becomes. Lord, would you allow me to help your people, please? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you are going to successfully serve Christ your entire life, you are going to have to carry a cross. There's no getting around it. God says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he says, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. We often look at a cross and we think that a cross is oftentimes a source of blessing, and that is true. But when I go to Galatians chapter 3, I find here in the book of Galatians that God shows us that the cross is not a blessing. You'll notice in Galatians 3 verse 13, he says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. No matter where I go, in every church I preach in, I checked, just be sure, and I think that is on purpose a little bit up there, just a little cross right up here. Every church I've ever been to almost always has a cross somewhere. And when you and I look at that cross, we see the cross as a source of blessing. But you have to understand what is a blessing for you and I was a curse for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became our curse so that you and I could be blessed. He says, I'm willing to take your death so that you can have life. I'm willing to suffer your hell so you can enjoy heaven. I'm willing to go and suffer the harshest things of life and the payment of sin just so that you can have the blessing of eternal life. You see, everyone is going to carry a cross. And may I say, you will either be nailed to a cross like Jesus was. You will either have a cross laid on you like that slave did, that servant did, or you will take up your cross and follow Jesus. But everybody has a cross. Paul, his cross was his health. Eli, his cross was his family. Daniel, his cross was persecution. Job, his cross was trials. But you check through the scriptures, everybody has a cross. And you see, the cross will always bring out a response. You see, the cross will either bring out a response that will cause you to quit, or it will bring out a response that will cause you to magnify Jesus Christ through that cross. when I look at the passage of Scripture that we just read, I find in this passage of Scripture there is four groups of people represented here at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. When I look at those four groups of people, every one of those people responded to the cross in a different way. I'll say this to you tonight. You're going to have one of these four responses to the cross. I hope that you'll have two of the four. But because there's two that you do not want to have, but the third response will lead you to the fourth response. May I go through these responses very quickly? The first response that you'll find to the cross is found in Luke 23 and verse 36. It says, "And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, 'If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself.'" What is the first response to the cross? Ready? Mocking. Mocking. Follow me carefully. These soldiers, they knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You recall, when Jesus died, one of the soldiers said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." That means, listen now, he had a sneaking suspicion on the inside that Jesus was God. There's something inside of him that said, "This man is not worthy to be here. This man is different than anyone else we've ever crucified. This man is different." Yet is it not interesting that the cross caused these very soldiers who knew that that was the Son of God, caused them to mock Jesus Christ? Listen carefully. There are many people in the Christian life that when times are good, oh, they're on top side. But when times start turning a little hard, it's amazing to me, preacher, how they walk out the door and they begin to mock the very life that they once used to live because the hardness of the cross turned them into mocking. Listen, it's easy to say God's good when you're on the mountaintop. But may I remind you tonight, the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. The God in the daylight is still God in the nighttime. The God in the day of peace is still God in the day of storms. The God when finances are good, hey, he's still God when finances are bad. The God that's God when you have a little baby in your arms is still God when you're burying that baby inside the casket. The God that's God when you got a job and everything's going good is still God when your job is gone and you're trying to figure your way out on how to pay your bills. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, it's time that we stop taking God and putting him on trial and saying, "Well, you're God today, not tomorrow. Yesterday, not tomorrow." No, sir. May I tell you tonight, hey, he's God all the time. Many a person has sat in these very seats. Amen, the preacher, as he preached, but times were good. But when times got rough, they walked out the door. They've become the mocker of Christianity. They're the ones on Facebook and Twitter that criticize. Listen to me. I refuse to let the haters of Christianity to define who we are. Listen to me. Somewhere you've got to understand, just because they couldn't, and by the way, you don't need to respond back to them. You don't need to be mean to them. I'm just saying, hey, a cross has turned many a good person to mocking. I'm saying, what's your cross going to do? There's a second response. We find in verse 39, it says in one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." What's the second response to the cross? Anger. Anger. Follow me. There are some, their cross leads them to mocking the very life they once used to live. Then there's another crowd. They still go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, but their hardness has hardened them and caused them to become a very angry Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, Christianity does not need angry Christians. Listen to me. Christianity needs some Christians who are on top side. Christianity needs some Christians who are enjoying the joy of the Lord inside their soul. Christianity needs some people that have a smile on their face. Oh, I've watched many a person. They go through the hard times of life and they become a hardened individual, and they never smile. They never enjoy life. And they get to that point in life where they're an angry individual. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying to you tonight, we have got to be careful that we don't become the angry person. Years ago, my pastor, who had been my pastor for many years, I was in his office and I was talking to him. And I was going through a little battle in my life, and he was in his 70s at the time, and he said to me, he said, "Brother Domley," he says, "let me just kind of caution you just a little bit." He says, "I'm an old man now." He said, "I've been through many a battle." He said, "Brother Domley, your nature of preaching will cause you to fight many battles." I wish he'd have never said that. He said, "but let me caution you." He says, "one of the biggest battles I fight in my personal life is that I don't let my battles make me an angry preacher." He said, "I've seen men far better than myself become angry individuals." He says, "they still preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night." He said, "they'll still see people say, but they're an angry preacher." He said, "Brother Domley, be careful that you don't allow your hardships of life make you an angry individual." May I caution Fellowship Baptist Church tonight, and may I say, we're going to have hard times. We're going to go through trials in life, but may I caution you tonight, let's not become an angry Christian. There's enough people out there that are angry. This world needs to see Christians who are on top side and say, "hey, everything's all right in my Father's house." The cross leads some to mock. The cross will lead some to become angry, but here comes where I'm really going tonight. The cross will lead some to self-examination and repentance. Notice, if you will, verse 40 of Luke 23, "but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly? For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Isn't it interesting that the same cross that caused some to mock, the same cross that made some angry, was the same cross that caused one person to examine himself and repent so he could change into who he needed to become? You listen to me. When your cross comes, this should be your first response. That is self-examination and repentance. You say, "but Brother Domley, my cross that I carry is not anything that I cause. It's what others have laid on me." I understand. But every time there's a cross, let me tell you something. I've learned something about crosses in my life, preacher, and that is this. I've always learned that a cross reveals something to Alan Domley that he needs to change. Hate to break the news to you tonight. There ain't any of us perfect tonight. We can say amen on that one, just a little bit better than that. I have a sneaking suspicion tonight every one of us in here have something we need to work on. And when the cross comes our way, you've always got to ask yourself three questions. What have I done wrong? What do I need to change? Is my response right? You see, some have not done wrong, but they need to change. Some have changed, but they're doing wrong. Some are doing the wrong. They don't need to change anything as an action, but their response is wrong. Listen to me carefully. I want all three areas, when the cross comes my way, I want to say to myself that self-examination has to come where I look at Alan Domley through the eyes of Jesus Christ, through the eyes of the Holy Ghost, through the eyes of the scriptures of God's word. And I've got to say, what do I need to change? What have I done wrong? Where is my response right? Let me tell you something. You say, but I'm not doing anything wrong. But is your response to the cross right? Which leads me to the fourth response. Now I'll tell you a story. The fourth response is forgiveness and blessing. This whole dialogue started with Jesus Christ saying, Father, help me out. Forgive them. For they know not what they do. And that response is what led to the rest, to where Jesus Christ could become the blessing to others. You see, at that moment when you face your cross and that thing comes to you where you have self-examination, if you do not respond right in your self-examination, you will become an angry person and most likely will become a mocker. But if you respond right and you repent of what you need to change, listen to me, you will find that God will take your cross and use it to become a source of blessings to others. I've told this story here before, but I'll tell it again for the sake of illustration. Ten and a half years ago, my life changed. 3 days before Christmas, my phone rang. And my mom said, son, the police have just come and arrested your father. For the first several hours, we had no idea what was going on. Anybody that's ever gone through this would not understand. Finally, we started getting a little trickle of information of what my dad was being charged with. For the next several weeks, it was like a fog. And finally, my dad pled guilty and has been now for the past 10 and a half years. Has been incarcerated in the California State Prison System. For a long time, I never wanted to talk about it. because I grew up in the perfect home. I never smoked, never drank, went to church my entire life. My dad was my preacher. And now the crystal ball of Alan Domley's world have been shattered. Because of the nature of my dad's crime, it was on the internet. People, when I'd come to churches, they'd try to bring it up, and I became an expert of deflecting and turning the conversation because I just did not want to talk about it. Until one morning I was reading in Corinthians. Where God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. God says, Alan, is my grace good enough to save you, but not good enough to help you with the trials you face? That morning, me and the Holy Spirit had a little discussion. By the time it was all done, I promised God, I said, God, you're the one who allowed this in my life. For what reason, I have no idea for. But I'm telling you right now, when that cross came in my life, there was things about Alan Domley that I discovered about myself that I did not like. When I finally accepted God's grace is good enough, I said, God, I'll never again hide the story of grace in my life. I remember the first time I mentioned this story from the pulpit. My daughter was sitting over here, and I didn't warn her. And I remember when I mentioned my dad's story, my daughter's jaw kind of dropped. Like, I can't believe Dad's even saying this in public. But I never knew that God allowed this in my life so that I could help others. Because for the first time in Alan Domley's life, you see, everybody always sees him on the platform. They think he lives in this perfect little world, no problems. And all of a sudden, when this story comes out, it's like, wow, he faces problems just like us. You see, I understand what it's like to stand in a jail line for the first time to go visit your family. I understand the embarrassment, hoping no one sees you. I understand what it feels like to touch glass. And that's the only touch you have. I understand what it's like to go to a prison for the first time. and see your dad walk out with people he doesn't even look like he belongs to. I know what it's like on Father's Day. When everybody talks about their father. You sit in a pew. And you have nothing to say. But what I did not understand, preacher, was how God has taken this circumstance in my life to allow me to help a lot of people who have gone through the same thing or are going through the same thing that I'm going through. And I don't know what your story is. But everybody has their cross. And that cross is that thing that you don't ever want to talk about. It's that thing that you keep on trying to sweep under so no one will know about. But once you forgot, God may not have ordained the sin, but God knew that you can handle it, and God knew that you were strong enough to handle it, and that's why God put you in that circumstance. And God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, hey, stop hiding the story of grace that God's placed in your life and use it to go help somebody else. A few months ago, my phone rang. I noticed it was the area code where my dad is. And I thought, this is strange. And I picked up the phone. Now, the other end of the phone was the chaplain of the prison. And I thought, oh no, what happened to dad? He said, this is chaplain. He mentioned his name. He said, is this Evangelist Alan Domley? I said, it sure is. He says, your dad's in my prison. I said, I know. He said, Mr. Domley, we were wondering if you would be willing to come and preach. In our prison. That doesn't happen. He said, we've already got it approved. He said, would you be willing to come? And I don't know the stories here. We've not talked a lot. I got in town last night. First time we really saw each other was this morning. But I'm talking to some of you tonight. If you're not careful, your cross is going to lead you to anger and mocking when it could be a source of blessing. Just this past week, I received a text. Brother Donald, can you take a call? I said, sure. Picked up the phone. Called. And the other end of the line was a lady whose husband's been incarcerated. She goes, can you help me out? She'd be glad to. We all have a cross. I was talking to a young man. I'll tell you this story and I'll be done. Probably tell you another and be done again. He had tattoos all up and down his arms. He said, Brother Donnelly, I want to work with teenagers, but he says, I feel like these tattoos would hinder me. He said, I know they're not right.
But he says, what do I do? I said, I'll tell you what you do.
When those teenagers see those tattoos, you tell them this is God's story of grace. You tell them that's the life you used to live, but it was the grace of God that has brought you to where you are now. I said, and every time you see those tattoos, every day, you can be reminded that that's where sin brought you, but grace is where you are right now. And that grace is because of Jesus Christ. And I'm saying tonight, okay, you have your cross. You say, but preacher, I didn't ask for it. Understand, you may be nailed to that and you may have to live with that cross the rest of your life, but you have a choice to say, okay, what do I need to change? Am I responding properly? Is my attitude right? Because if it's not, I will never be a blessing to others. You either need this now, or you will need it. Preacher, I don't know how you are, but when I see a young couple get married and they walk off into happiness, there's a part of me that down deep inside, I wonder what cross they're going to have to carry. Father, tonight, you've given us all a cross. I think part of it's just to keep us humble. But what we do with that cross truly determines what you do with us. God, help your people tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking. I wonder who's in here tonight. You say, preacher, I needed that reminder tonight. God spoke to my heart. Preacher, as you close in prayer, remember me in prayer. God spoke to me tonight. If you like that, would you slip your hand way up high all over the auditorium? I see hands everywhere. Everywhere. You can put them down. Those hands most likely represent some broken hearts tonight. Some cross. Wonder who else it is. Say, preacher, I needed that reminder tonight. Brother Domley, as you close in prayer, remember me in prayer. God spoke to my heart. God spoke to me. Is there someone else? I've not raised my hand with these, but I should have. And God bless you. Someone else. God spoke to my heart. God bless you. Someone else. Someone else. Someone else. I ask one last question. I wonder if there's someone here tonight. You'd say, Brother Domley, if I died right now, I'm not even sure my next breath would be in heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, but I'm just not sure that I'm saved. Preacher, pray for me. God spoke to my heart. I need to get saved. Is there anyone like that? Would you slip your hand up high until I see it? I'm not sure if I died right now. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Pray for me. I see that hand right there. God bless you. You can put it down. Who else is it? I'm not sure if I died right now, my next breath would be in heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Pray for me. Who else is it? Who else is it? Who else is it? I see the hand right there. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? In just a moment, I'm going to pray. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Just a moment, I'm going to pray, and then we'll stand to our feet, heads be bowed, eyes be closed. Can you play, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way?